two little old ladies. I don't know why they're called little old ladies, but they were little old ladies. Were walking out of church one Sunday morning when one said to the other, "My, that preacher certainly preaches for a long time." Our friend replied, "No, I'm afraid he doesn't. He doesn't preach a long time. It just seems like a long time." I hope this morning, given the way time's marching on anyway, that that will not be said of a Sunday service here in Cornton. But in many places, sadly, that may well be true. But if it's true of a 20 or 30 minute sermon, true of a service that lasts an hour and a half or so, can you imagine what the people in Jerusalem must have been thinking and feeling as Ezra stood up and preached from the Word of God for 6 hours. 6 hours he stood, and yet they were committed with zeal and with enthusiasm and with passion to standing and listening. This morning, as we celebrate returning to this building, I wanted to spend a little bit of time in Nehemiah 8 and this great passage where Ezra's reading the book of the law. Spent a fair bit of time in the past few weeks thinking and praying over what on earth do you say on a first Sunday back in, and it's chopped and it's changed and it's done so many different things. But hopefully God has got his word to say to us this morning through this passage. That key phrase in the middle there, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord had been with the Israelites in the months, terrible months, they had been out of Jerusalem, and then during all of those days as they were rebuilding the walls, and now they can rejoice. They've been reminded to rejoice, for there will be more difficult days ahead, because that always happens in life. Nothing ever goes smoothly all of the time, and yet they're being reminded to rejoice, for God is good and the joy of the Lord is their strength. No one here recognises it simply because the walls have been rebuilt that all will be well. And yet in the midst of all of this, there's a reawakening of spiritual fervour and zeal of the people. So putting this in context just briefly, and it needs to be briefly, for we're going to race through this at a fair rate of knots this morning. Nehemiah has heard that those who survived the exile in Jerusalem and are now back in the province have been in great trouble and distress, not least since the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down and the gates had been burned with fire. Nehemiah asks the king, the one who he is serving, if he could have a period of extended leave. I'm sure Alan could have done with a period of extended leave from his work during these past months. But Nehemiah asked for it, and he was given it, that he might go back and he might restore Jerusalem to its former glory. As well as seeking to rebuild the city's defences, though, Nehemiah wants to revitalise a spiritual community. And as we reach chapter 8, the reconstruction work is complete. The walls are up, and in a short time a dedication service will be held to mark this. But Nehemiah and Ezra are keen to ensure the spiritual revitalization continues as well. The work ends in the 6th month, and it's now the 7th month. And the 7th month is a special feast in the land, the Feast of Trumpets. This was a public holiday when the people would gather together to praise God, and when God's word would be central to everything that went on during that feast. Ezra, as a man who comes from a priestly line, and is known for his skills in scripture. Back in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6 we read, "He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given." And so it's Ezra who stands up on this day at daybreak to read the word. And just as we go to delve into it, just a word about us and where we are. We've just completed the reconstruction of this church building. We believe that God has firmly led us to do this, and he's given us that vision, and that vision that we want to carry on so that we might be demonstrating God's love in action in this community of Cornton. A renovated and extended building is now fit for purpose to do all of this, that we might reach out to a needy world, that we might draw them in, that we might meet some of their needs, and that we might draw them to Christ. But we have to remember, of course, it's Jesus who said, Jesus himself who said, that I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But we play a part in that.
We have a role to play as we reach out to the community around us, as we share love with them. Now, I don't think that we necessarily in here this morning need to be spiritually revitalized, although in one sense it's always good for us to be growing and developing and growing in our faith and changing and growing to become more like Christ. In some ways, Nehemiah's concern is for a revival to happen in Jerusalem. Boy, would that be great in content. A revival in this place. Let's be praying for that and working for that. Having rebuilt the church, we want to be involved in changing and revitalizing and putting energy and zeal and passion into people's spirituality and lives around us. We want to see them on fire for Jesus Christ. But let's turn to the text and see what Nehemiah would say to us, what God would say to us through this word this morning. The first thing we see is Ezra becoming the key character. Nehemiah is beginning to take a back seat. He's overseen the rebuilding of the walls and of Jerusalem, and he now lets Ezra, who is a great teacher, take over the work of continuing to revitalize the people. Ezra leads the people, and he reads to the people, and we see them lifting praise to God. Verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The people lifted praise to God. They were reminded who he was. They were reminded what he had done for them. They were reminded of his faithfulness during all of those days. And they were drawn to praise and to lifting high the name of the Lord. And that all began, friends, with God's word. That word was central to this festival, and the word was central to the people. Ezra was a great teacher of the book, and he brought it out to the whole assembly as they gathered. But notice one thing, it wasn't Ezra's decision. The people said to Ezra in verse 1 that they wanted the book. They wanted Ezra to bring the word to them. They understood the significance of what was written there. They understood what it meant to be learning of it for themselves. Do you know, I am so thankful. I am so thankful that here in Cornton we have a people who are eager to hear and to learn from God's word. To take it for themselves, not just to listen to me on a Sunday or to anybody else who's up here, but to take God's word and to read it for themselves and to digest what they've heard and to think it through and to see if it is what God is saying to us. Praise be to God for that. Ezra and the people brought out the book to God, the book to read, and they praised God on account of his word. The book had been lost sometime previously, but Josiah had found it hidden away in the temple and brought it back to the people. They had rejoiced then, and so here the people lifted praise to God for his word, which was a lamp to their feet and a light for their paths. They lifted praise to God as well, for they knew of God's greatness. They knew how he created the world and everything in it. They had heard the stories of the great patriarchs and how God was so great in their midst. They knew of God's greatness in saving Noah and his family from that terrible flood. They had heard of the stories of Moses and how God had led the Israelites from captivity in Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. They knew God's greatness. And if they needed reminded, they could look around them again and they could see the walls that had been rebuilt. Jerusalem had been ransacked. The people had been scattered into exile. But God was drawing them back together. Yes, he had left them. Yes, he had left them on account of their sin. But God is great and God is loving, full of mercy and compassion for his people. They knew God's greatness. And so they stood to hear the word. Could you imagine standing for 6 hours listening to the word of God? They stood and they heard and they lifted their hands in praise to God, and then noticed that they fell to the ground with their faces down, praising God for his greatness. Friends, we are here this morning lifting praise to heaven as well. We are grateful to God for his goodness. We are thankful for his word, which we have so readily available to us. His word, which has been our mainstay in these months out of the building. His word, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we praise him for his greatness. We know how great our God is. There's a wonderful new song that's about just now that says, how great is our God, sing with me. How great is our God, all will see, all will hear. How great is our God. Or what about that old favourite? Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. Let us be a people who continue to lift praise to God for his word and for his greatness, for his faithfulness and all he does. Notice next then that the people listened to God's word. The people had asked Ezra to bring the book out to read to them. They wanted to hear God's word and to learn from it. At the end of verse 3, we note that they are attentive to the word. They listened closely. They listened carefully. Ezra stood up on a high wooden platform that was especially built for the occasion. They were so keen to hear the word that they thought of everything. And notice a large crowd had gathered round. There were men and there were women, and there were all who were able to understand. Now I'm presuming, of course, that the men and women mentioned could first understand as well. Okay, you didn't quite get me on that one. But we'll get there. This assembly of people were keen to hear the first words that were spoken, and they were attentive to what was going on. And then as Ezra stood up and opened the book, so they stood to their feet in reverence. They recognised the power. They recognised the authority of God's word. They recognised it was God's word for them. They were attentive and listening and learning from it. And verse 8 tells us that the Levites then got involved in instructing the people. The people were attentive that they might learn. Not only were they attentive, but they had an appetite for the word as well, didn't they? They were the ones who had told Ezra to bring the book out. They were the ones who gathered to listen. And check that appetite out. They were up at daybreak. They were up as the sun rose in the morning. How many of you were up at 6 this morning? Okay, I'll put my hand down as well. Oh, go on, see? Amazing what little children do in a household, right enough. Oh, there's a few early birds. These people were up at 6 in the morning, and they were, that appetite for the word meant that they stayed there listening to it from 6 in the morning till noon. 6 hours listening to the word as Ezra brought it to them. And not only that, they were there for all 7 days of that feast listening to God's word. When was the last time, friends? When was the last time? I'll hold my own hand up here. When was the last time we stood or sat for that long in God's word, reading and listening to it? And remember, of course, that appetite for the word was shown as they stood to listen reverently for it. I would encourage us to be a people who have an appetite for God's word, who show attentiveness to it all the time. And I want to encourage you, for you already do that. As I look around on Sunday mornings, I see your faces. I see you listening in attentively. I see you following where we're going. I see some people scribbling down notes, and that's a wonderful way to learn. I hear people going away and listening to podcasts on the internet afterwards so they might listen again, or so they might listen into what they've missed because they've been out in Sunday school. Let's keep being attentive to God's word. Let's keep having an appetite for it in these days. For everything we need to know for living life, living it well, and reaching a community around us is contained in this book. But not only did they listen to God's word, they also learned from God's word. After Ezra had read the word, the Levites came and helped the people to understand the meaning of it. Verse 8 says they were making it clear and giving the meaning so the people could understand, and understand it they did. They learned from God's word. How do we know this? Well, let's begin with the fact that they recognized their sin. God's word always illuminates right and wrong. It shows up our sin and it directs us to it. It shows us how to deal with it, how to live life properly in accordance with God's ways. Later in the New Testament, we learn that Jesus would come as the light of the world to shine light into the dark places and to reveal sin. But the people here, though, recognize their sin. In verse 9, Nehemiah and Ezra have to stand up and address the people. They are mourning and they are weeping, and they're telling them to stop. Why are they mourning and weeping? The end of verse 9 tells us that they were weeping as they listened to the words of the law. As they listened, they learned that they were not living up to God's ways. They saw their shortcomings, and it led them to remorse. They felt the guilt and the shame as they recognized their sin. Friends, too, we too need to recognize our sin as we read and learn from God's word. The great thing is, We have a Saviour who died on a cross to save us, as we have already thought this morning around the communion table. A Saviour who, and a God who has promised to forgive us whenever we sin, if we come and confess our sins to Him. But as they recognised their sin, Nehemiah led them to respond to God's grace. He said in verse 10, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." He is informing them that God, by His grace, has offered forgiveness to them. God, by His grace, has seen their sin, and despite that, He's helped them rebuild their city to restore it again. He wants to draw all people back to Himself. And so in grace, He has led them, and He has guided them, and He has helped them to do this. By God's grace, the king gave Nehemiah time off his duties to come and oversee the work. We too can respond to God's grace as well. Despite our sin, He sent His Son to the cross of Calvary. Despite our sin, He sent His Son to the cross of Calvary to die for each one of us. God's grace is available to us. There is no other way under heaven that we can be saved other than through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. Friends, if you don't know God's grace, then hear it this morning. And as they learned God's word, as they recognized their sin, as they responded to God's grace, they were renewed in their spiritual fervor. Nehemiah told them not to grieve, for the joy of the Lord was their strength. The Levites then told them not to grieve. The people went out to celebrate and to rejoice in God. He is great and He is awesome. He is loving, He is kind. He is faithful and He is true. He is forgiving and He is renewing. Verse 12, they went to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. And as they listened to and learned from the word, they were reminded of another festival that they had forgotten all about for many years. The festival of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, that Moses had been commanded by God to give to the people. They had forgotten about it. But now, as their spiritual fervor was renewed and revitalized, as their spiritual batteries were recharged, they went back to being faithful to God's word. And that's what happens when spiritual fervor is renewed. You want to share the joy of the Lord with everyone. And that task is ours too, as we settle into this building this morning, to be renewed in our faith and our desire to share with others, to demonstrate God's love in action in the community of Cornton. Are you catching that phrase? We've used it. Alan's used it, it's pinned up outside, demonstrating God's love in action in the community of Cornton. The people, though, are rejoicing now because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And so we end where we began in this rush through Nehemiah 8. The people lifted praise to God. We learn in verse 17 that not since the days of Joshua, many years before, had the people celebrated before God like this. They lifted their praise to God joyfully, completely. They lifted praise on account of God's word, not only because the word was there and they could read and listen to it, but now also because they understood it. They had learned about their sin. They had responded to God's grace. They had been renewed in their spiritual fervor through God's word. God's word contains everything we need to know about living life in this day and this generation. Jesus came to bring life, and life in all of its fullness. That life comes from living faithfully for God. Jesus shows us how to live, how to act in life. He died on a cross to save us, raised from death, to be seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, preparing a place for us. One day we're going to be with Him. What a joyful day. But until then we need to be reading and learning God's word, that we might share it with a world who need to know and to understand. And we too can lift praise to God, an account of His word, an account of the easy access to it, to read for ourselves, to listen to it being read and preached and proclaimed regularly and faithfully from this pulpit. They also lifted praise now on account of God's faithfulness. God had let the city of Jerusalem be ransacked and the people be scattered. They had sinned against Him. They had shown no regard for Him. And yet in His faithfulness, God has helped them rebuild the walls. He's drawn them back to Himself. God's desire, friends, is that none should perish, but they'll all be saved. He is faithful to us as he sent his own son to the cross to die for us. God was faithful to all of his promises, faithful to all of his people, and they learned this afresh, and they were able to lift their praise to him. We rattled through this morning. I guess I'm speaking faster than I probably normally do. You might want to listen to it afterwards on the internet just to catch it through again. Or I might even print it off for you. That might be a better idea. But on another occasion, we might have taken 2 or 3 weeks to go through this passage. But let me simply close by reminding us that the joy of the Lord is our strength as well. We are all sinners. Sinners saved by grace. We recognise our sin. We recognise the sin in our lives. We've responded by grace, by God's grace. We've responded to him. Maybe though you're here this morning and you don't know him, then friends, I want to give you an opportunity on this first Sunday back to come to Jesus. You've heard his word. You've seen it in action this morning as we've talked about Jesus' death on the cross through the communion table. You've heard some of it in God's word. Jesus died on a cross to save you. That was the only way we could get right in our relationship with God. Friends, if you don't know Jesus, then this morning would you come back to him? Maybe you do know him, but you've wandered away somewhere, and this is a day when you're coming back. Then friends, make that a day to remember. Come to him this morning and ask him into your life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, said the old chorus. Come in today, come in to stay. Ask him into your life. Turn your life around. Repent of all that's gone on before, all the wrong in your life, and give your life to Jesus. Do it now. We've lifted praise to God this morning as well for his word, for his greatness, for his faithfulness. And all of these months out the building, you know, that first week or two out, I thought it was going to be a long, long time. But you know what? God's been faithful. Those 8 months have whizzed past in so many ways. Might not feel like it, but they have. They've just disappeared. But God has been faithful to us in those days. He has led us to renovate and extend the building. He has led and guided us while we've been out as pilgrims wandering elsewhere. He has faithfully brought us back in here today. We are a people who are committed to the word. We have an appetite to listening to it, and we're attentive to looking at it. We're committed to learning from it, to recognizing our sin, to responding to God's grace, and to having our spiritual fervor renewed. And as our spiritual fervor is renewed, let us keep being faithful to that word, to be proclaiming that word, spreading that word throughout Cornton and Stirling. Let us lift praise to God today of all days for his word, for his faithfulness. Let us praise him for being back in here and for that great place we now have to worship him in and witness for him through. Let us lift our praise to God, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you and praise you again. We not only thank you and praise you for this building, Father God, but we thank you and praise you for your word. For we recognize that your word is central to everything. We recognize that through your word we learn all we need to know for life. That you lead us and you guide us through your word. So Lord, help us to be a people who continue to be faithful to that as we serve you in this new building. Lord, help us to continue to learn from that word, that we reach out with love and demonstrate your love to a world around us that need to hear and need to know that Jesus is Lord. Lord, help us to rejoice in this place and help us to rejoice in your word. Help us to go from this place this morning remembering your word, reading it through again, listening to it again, reading it again, that we might understand what you say to us, that we might be encouraged to be a people of the word at all times, in all situations, in all places. And help us to be a people who remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let us be joyful and let us celebrate and let us give you the glory, for you deserve it. And we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.